Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. Let's raise our hands to him. We thank you, Lord. You are King. You are Lord. You love us. You have a plan for our life, God, and it's a good one. And Lord, I pray that you get us right dead in the center of your will, because that's the safest place you can be, in the center of God's will. Lord, speak to us, teach us. God, let your word go into us and change us. Your word is mighty and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to even divide and discern our attitudes and our thoughts, God. So, Lord, we need to know ourselves better, Lord, so we can change, so we can be the men and the women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, I'm so glad Mary and Danny, I guess you both were in on it, decided to have a home group. That's a seed that was planted many years ago. Raise up home groups, you know, and it was a seed that was planted, and it seemed like it wasn't going to come up, but praise God. If it sets in the ground long enough, it will bring fruit forth. There's a lot of things that have been in the ground for a long time, man. A lot of prophecies have been spoken over y'all. It's been in the ground for a long time. I believe they're about to come to fruition in Jesus' name. A lot of them are going to come to fruition quickly. And one thing the Lord's been working on me about, I know I've had a problem in the past of releasing stuff. Well, God's given me the ability and the joy to just start releasing stuff on you guys, and you start carrying it, and you start picking it up, and God's going to use everyone in this church that's willing to say yes. There's something God wants you to do. So as that comes up, be like Elizabeth. No, I really want to come home and be with my family. I don't know what she was feeling. I know she was looking forward to coming home. She was looking forward to coming home to her family and her church family. But then all of a sudden it's like, but I told you, God, when I came out here, if I was asked to do this, I would do it. So just remember your vows to God. They're very important because he remembers. And he'll never put nothing on you that's bad for you. He'll only put things on you that's for your good and your growing, and they don't always feel good. Amen? Right. It don't always feel good when you strap it on, but knowing that you're doing the will of God makes everything good. And peace. Because if the Lord is for me, and who can be against me, right? Get a chance, and I again say, do your best to be out at this Highway 150 prayer meeting. It's not this Tuesday, but it's the following Tuesday, the 21st. That's the same week as the chili dinner, and Thanksgiving is that week. And I know that's asking a lot on that Tuesday night, but, you know, surely we can break free for a couple, 3 hours to help birth this vision and let the people see from the corridor and honor these people that have been praying faithfully. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you think once a month isn't no big deal, but try it sometimes when you're committed to that day and see what happens on that night. Something will keep you up and you won't get to bed early like you want. You know, I'm just saying. It's a big commitment. So let's honor those folks, you know. Go to Exodus chapter 12, please. We're going to put prayer on this vision of the Highway 150 corridor here in a little bit, but when he showed me this vision a long time ago, and the Four Winds vision, we've seen a little bit of this come to pass, but really there's so much more that God wants to bring to pass. But part of that vision was that every church going after this revival in this region could take a compass, You know what a compass is? They even use them in school anymore. I doubt it. We used to like them because you could stick people with them. They had a really sharp point on one. And you know what a compass is? It goes like this. And it's got this scale. It's got inches. And he said, take that and find out the legend on your map and find out what 1 inch equals. Like one inch equals 25 miles or 50 miles. And stick it on your church, the pointy part, and take that pencil and draw 100-mile circumference around your church. And that'll be your sphere of influence. So I think what we need to do is make a 5-mile loop. Know that we own 100, but start making ever-increasing circles of influence. Amen. Influence. We need to do that and believe it. Either God said it or that's just something made up. I mean, if God said it, God wants to do it, you know? So let's get behind what God says. How about that? It's a big vision. It's a huge vision. There's a huge cost to it. There's a big cost. When revival comes, there's a huge cost. Did you know that? Yep. Really? Did you know that? Did you ever go to Brownsville? Their utility bills went zoom. They got this thing open 7 days a week, you know. Their toilet paper bills, they said their toilet, it was amazing, the little things, but they had people in the bathrooms. Donna met a lady that went to church here, and her whole job was to keep the toilet paper stocked in the bathroom and make sure everything was wiped up and looked pretty all the time. And Donna said, don't you get tired? Wouldn't you rather? She said, oh, no, the glory of God has come to our church, and we get to host this thing? That's what she said, and she meant it, see? You got to know that when revival comes, there's work to be done. But it's good. We need to just proclaim what God's already showed us. We don't need no new revelation. I'm all for new revelation, but let's put to practice the old revelations he's already given us, you know? Exodus 12. Going to read a lot. Is that okay? Verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, and the reason I'm doing this is there's an Old Testament covenant, but it's backed up in the New Testament, so they go together. Say they go together. The Word of God complements itself, doesn't it? Speak to all the congregation of Israel. How much is that? Everybody, right? Saying, on the 10th of this month, every man, that's specific, right? On the 10th of this month, every man will take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it. I'm sorry. Take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb will be without blemish, a male of the first year. You will take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will kill it at twilight. And they will take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they will eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you will burn with fire. And thus you will eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So did you ever notice when you're reading the Old Covenant, I don't want to call it the Old Covenant, when God's covenant, if you read through the God's covenant, you'll notice everything is very specific. I want you to do it exactly like this. It's like Elizabeth, good example. Elizabeth, thus says the Lord, I want you to go out to Kansas City and put in an internship. And if you are asked, says the Lord, to join a worship team, says the Lord, then you shall join the worship team. Now, if Elizabeth had decided to come on home, guess what? She wouldn't go to hell. Not because of that. Okay? She would miss an opportunity that God had given her. Have you ever done that as a believer? Have you ever looked back and went, whoa, I wish I hadn't done that? Or I'm not talking about sin. It's just like, man, I wish I had done that when the Lord called me to do that. But really comes down to your flesh. Do you want to please the Lord or do you want to please your flesh? Of course, when you please your flesh, it feels good for a season, but it never satisfies, does it? But when you please the Lord, it stays with you. And it increases. And you might not see the blessing of it when you first do it, but somewhere down the road, you're going to go, wow, if I hadn't done that. So praise the Lord. So, Lord, we repent right now. We repent of all the times we denied you. We repent of the times when we didn't follow your instructions. But, God, thank you for saving us. And thank you for making a way in the wilderness, even when we were disobedient, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sin not. Sin not, you said. But if I should sin, praise God, if I should sin, I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood will wash me from all sin and unrighteousness. You're right, unrighteousness. Praise God. My memory don't always get exactly there. Go to Revelation 11. Would you say in this, what we just read, this section, you could read a whole bunch because it all came to pass just exactly the way the Lord said it would. Those who had painted the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, what happened? Passed over them, the ones that had the blood on the doorpost. The ones that didn't obey him and didn't have the blood on the doorpost, what happened? This boy wouldn't be here. Your firstborn wouldn't be there, right? Wouldn't be there. Be gone. I'd be gone. You'd be gone. No, you're the eldest, right? Is it son? Was it son only? Yeah. It was a son. Oh, sorry. You'd still be here. But the firstborn son, were you, Chuck? Yeah. You were firstborn, so you wouldn't be married, and y'all wouldn't be here. I mean, just think about it. And if your son's dead, it means your children aren't there. I mean, this was huge. It's kind of like abortion. Think about it. Yes, we've lost close to 60 million babies. Now think about how many children and grandchildren. How many years ago was Roe v. Wade? So 83, 93, 2003, 2000, it's been 40. There would be probably great-grandchildren from these, right? So you're probably looking, I wouldn't put numbers on it, but you're probably looking at a couple hundred million people that aren't here because of abortion. So Revelation 11, please pull into this because we heard the past about the blood. The blood protected them. The blood of the Lamb protected them and covered them from death. Now we're going to hear about the blood again. 11 verse 1. It's a lot of reading, but pull into it. I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, which is about 3.5 years, I believe. Clothed in what? Gaiety, nice clothes, eating, partying, having a good time? No, sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth." Remember, you're reading about the future here. This is a prophecy of the future, right? Knowing that you may very well see all this come to pass, I want you to wrap your head around that. I want you to wrap your head around how miraculous what we're about to read, how incredible and miraculous this all is. If anyone wants to harm them, listen, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These two witnesses, right, have power to shut up heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Who can you think before that had happened to in the old covenant? Elijah. It didn't rain for what? 3.5 years. Is there a common number here? And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. That happened previous to what we just read, right? The death of the firstborn. They had the power. Remember, Moses went. How many of y'all like to be like Moses? Would you? John the Revelator. Would you like to be like him? Would you like to be like Elijah? Would you like to be like Jesus? Then when you become like that, brother, you get authority. You get power. You also get persecution. So when you want to step up to that level of authority, just remember, there's something that goes along with it. Not everybody's going to love you. And you all want to be the best you can be for God, regardless of what happens, don't you? I'm talking about the blood because there's a covering with the blood, okay? Amen. If you stay right with the blood, God is going to get us through anything, right? Praise God. He had power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Verse 7, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. Who's that? Satan? They're all the same, the beast. They're all of the devil. They're all of evil. What's that? He's the father of lies. You're right. Praise God. They ascend out of the bottomless pit and will make war against them. Listen, make war against them and what? Overcome them and kill them. Don't sound like they won to me, does it? And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. In other words, everybody on the planet, say everybody on the planet, will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will make merry. They will send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. It's going to be like a demonic Christmas. They're going to decorate. They're going to have parties. They're going to have parties because these two, and besides, they're catching it all on CNN. They're sitting there, come here, you can look. See the dead bodies? They're starting to deteriorate out in the desert, man. They'd be like flies and vultures and, hey, let's make it real. The whole world will watch this happen. And, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you go, that's not possible. It's possible. Can you imagine when he, yeah, what did John think? If you think about it, man, I was watching, I don't know what it was, some kind of educational TV, which is usually ignoramus TV, but at this time, they showed this glider. It was in Africa. It was out in the middle of nowhere in the jungle. There's this glider flying this circle. I think it was I don't know how big a circle, it was miles, but it was flying over and it was solar powered and its whole job was to beam internet down to these people in huts and, you know, these people, they're trying to get this internet accessible everywhere. Is there a reason for that? God's behind it ultimately, right? But it's a control thing. You know, when the Antichrist takes over, he can speak to everybody in the world, right? He can know everything about you, Danny. He knows exactly where you're sitting right now. If they wanted to shoot a missile down, well, they'd have to take us too. But, I mean, they can know exactly where you're at. This is not conspiracy or fear. It's just the way it is if you got a cell phone on you. In the rice fields, they've been watching it on their phone. And you know what? There was an album. This was way back. When I go way back in the 80s or 90s, it's like, what? That wasn't that long ago. Yeah, it was 30, 40 years, you know. It was a long time ago. But there was a group called Whiteheart. And I bet very few, how many remember Whiteheart? They rocked. Man, they played some good Christian rock and roll. I mean, they were good. But there's a picture on this album, and I can't remember the name of the album, but it showed a beat-up old trailer, and this was way, way long time ago when there was a 6 or 8, remember when they had 6 or 8 foot satellite dishes? It reminds me, in the jungle, they've got access to the internet, they've got access, and you know what? Not everybody's going to hook up. Some people's going to get wise and throw these away. You know, someday you're going to know that you don't want to be tracked, you know. Someday you're going to realize that it's time. And God's timing is perfect, right? Good tool right now, isn't it, if you want it to be. But then, you know, they're going to go, hey, are you hungry, brother? You know what? We can put this little chip right there or right here. Everything will be okay. Now that'll be, when you get that dude, there's no running away from it, see? And this really isn't about the rapture. I just think all that stuff's amazing. Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the grave. And I already read all that, didn't I? But still, I could do it again because it's exciting to me. A 10 again. Those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will make merry and send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. What did they torment them with? The truth. The truth. Just like when you go out and be Jesus, you torment people. Oh, no, it brings light. Well, it does if you receive it. But if you don't, it's tormenting. I remember when people used to witness to me and I was lost. It didn't make me feel good. Now, listen, verse 11, got to read this. Now after 3.5 days, you know what I just realized? Jesus was in the tomb for how long? 3 days. God said, no, we're going to make another half day here just so you'll know they're good and dead. Because there's vultures, there's maggots. Let me get graphic. 3.5 days in the desert sun, guess what? You're decaying, you stink. You stink. Everybody's got their droids and iPhones. Ooh, cool. After 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. And they stood on their feet. And great fear fell on all those who saw them. Everybody on the planet. You get out your mass text links. Man, check out your phone. Look at this. These guys are getting up. They're dead. They're getting up, man. Think about it. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended. Get this. Remember when Jesus ascended? The disciples were sitting there going, wow. They ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. Yeah, and in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed. That's a bad earthquake. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Sounds like a victory celebration to me, man. And the nations were happy. The nations were glad that the Lord was lifted up on high. The nations were what? Angry. And your wrath has come in the time of the dead, and they shall be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there was lightnings, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. And this is chapter 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And we could tell you that this means this, and this means this, and this means this, and this means this, but I just want to read what it says. His tail drew a third of the stars from heaven and threw them to earth. To me, I said I wasn't going to tell you what I thought it meant, but to me that represents a third of the angels when Satan rebelled against God being thrown to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who's going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron? Jesus. And soon as he was born, they tried to destroy him, didn't they? They tried to take his life. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Don't know. Could be talking about the church. Who knows? Don't know. But he's got it all in hand, praise God. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. And I think the enemy, I think we're living in those very times where the enemy has been loosed and he comes with great wrath. And you go, well, I haven't seen any demonic manifestations where I see the devil doing things. Well, man, when you got 15-year-old kids killing a newlywed couple, when you've got 15-year-old kids murdering people all over this United States, when you've got things like that, when a kid should be just walking into the little edge of temptation, when it's been turned over to an evil spirit. There's nothing I can say about children doing things like that. It is evil and evil and evil continually. And it's not just young people, but my Lord, they should be spared for that for a few years. It's getting younger and younger and younger and younger, because the enemy is mad, he's angry, he knows his destiny, but somehow he still fights it. He knows his destiny is to fall into the bottomless pit. No, not fall. He'll be kicked into the bottomless pit. He knows that his time is short. And the shorter his time is, if you know anything about basketball or football games, they play like crazy the last 2 or 3 minutes. They go for it with all they got because they know this is the end. And the enemy knows this is just about the end. And things are going to get worse. I could sit here and I could give you a good news message about how things are going to get better and better and better, and God, it's not what you read in the Bible. Man, yes, revival will come. Yes, there'll be many souls swept into the kingdom, but the majority of this earth will not embrace the things of God, most likely. So get ready. Be ready. Live ready. Amen. But the point is here that I want to get out of all this. Verse 11. And they overcame. Who's him?
The devil.
The enemy, the devil, evil. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So you got to remember something. When all hell is coming against you, something I've been watching a few old videos of people that were around when they say the old Pentecostals. They call them the early Pentecostals, the old Pentecostals. I never knew where this came from. I didn't know much about it until we started hanging around people that were what you would call Pentecostals or full gospel. They did this a lot. They would plea the blood. Did you ever hear of pleading the blood? Something that you probably still do, but we need to turn our focus up, man. We need to turn our We need to plead the blood over situations. We need to plead the blood over the devil. We need to plead the blood over sickness and disease. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our unsaved family and friends. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our homes. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our property lines. What's that mean? They put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel was not allowed to destroy them. You're not reminding Jesus of the blood. You're not reminding God, oh, God, you got to honor the blood. You're reminding yourself of the blood. Right. And when you know the blood is covering you, then you know that you are safe. Yep. I didn't say you couldn't be touched. I said you're safe. Yep. You're in a good place. You're right in the center of God's will. The blood. He trembles at the blood. Satan trembles at the blood of the Lamb. Because he knows it represents his defeat. It represents the ultimate sacrifice. Praise God. Aren't you thankful? Whoa. He rose, man. He shed his blood and he rose, and his blood is still powerful. His blood is still awesome. His blood never, ever, ever loses its strength. And one drop of it can change the whole world. One drop of it can save every sinner. That's all it takes. One drop. And he bled quarts and quarts and quarts. I don't know how much blood's in the human body, but he shed every ounce of it. That's why that spear had to make sure he was drained. Boy, that sounds gross, don't it? But it's the blood. It's the blood. Because right back in the beginning it said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, we're all bound for hell. But with the shedding of blood, we overcome the enemy. We overcome death. We overcome hell. So we got something to be excited about. He's given us a tool. Apply the blood. Young people, apply the blood. Come on. Don't give in to that sin that so easily besets you. I ain't talking to young people. I'm talking to all of us. Don't give in to that sin that so easily ties you up. And when you finish, you feel guilty. Go, why did I do that? I made it for 6 weeks, God, and now I've fallen. Maybe you're not being warfare enough. Maybe you're not taking a stance of a warrior. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying when that temptation comes and you thought, I really want to see what's on this phone, but I know I plead the blood of Jesus on my will. I plead the blood of Jesus against his lust. Listen, young people, lust is normal. It's going to be stirred up when you get a certain age. It's built like that so you can have a family. It's built like that so you can have a wife and a husband. It's not built like that so you can be a fornicator. Listen. And when you're lusting over something, you're looking at an image, you're looking at a girl or a woman or a man or whatever you're looking at. When you do that, you are fornicating. So, this applies to all of us, man. We've all got to, every one of us, I'd say everyone in this room's got a sin that it's like, it besets you, it pulls on you. It knows your name. It knows your habits, right? It could be talking about people. It could be gossip. It don't have to be lust. They're all sin. It could be unforgiveness. Man, that's a huge one, and it cripples so many people, and it brings disease and illness. No, we plead the blood. Let's stand up. You know, I couldn't, praise God, I couldn't get a hotspot this morning, so I couldn't. I wanted to print all the lyrics to Power in the Blood, and there's four verses, and I read them, and I went, oh, my gosh, they knew exactly what we're talking about. They knew exactly. It applied to sin. It applied to healing your soul. It applied to defeating the devil. I mean, it covered everything, I think. So, Lord God, we hold our hands up to you and we say, Lord, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, Lord, we give you glory. Just tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell him in your own way, thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. I know it's true. I know you shed your blood. I know you died on the cross. There's no doubt about that. But Lord, forgive me. Can you repent right now? Forgive me when I'm not trusted in the blood. Forgive me when I have not used a tool, God. I've not used what you've given me to defeat the power of the enemy. They said they overcame. Who overcame Satan? These two witnesses, man, overcame Satan. They rose from the dead. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, and the word of their testimony, but you don't get a word of testimony unless you're covered with the blood of the Lamb. That just comes if you're walking with Jesus. Lord God, I decree, I proclaim, say it loud, I proclaim the blood of the Lamb over me, over my family, over my mind, over disease, over illness, over the plans of the enemy. I proclaim the blood of the Lamb over Faith Harvest Assembly, over the plans that you've given us. Over this Highway 150 corridor, over this rebellious, sinful nation, I proclaim the blood of the Lamb. I proclaim the blood of the Lamb. I plead it on this country. I plead it on my mind. Jesus, heal us. Heal us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, heal us, God. Sotara sanda bareshe te koradea. Sinda baresi kete koro sana matea. Shinda karaba sana maroso namara sana namara sana namara sana nana. Come on. Come on. If you got to give, speak it. Speak it. The blood, the blood, the blood. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a new day, God. Thank you for a fresh anointing, God. Thank you for a fresh passion, God. By your blood, by your blood, by your stripes, I am healed. Spirit, soul, and body, I am healed. Spirit, soul, and body, I am healed. Not body, soul, and spirit, spirit, soul, and body. You heal my spirit, my soul will get right. You heal my soul, my body will get lined up, God. Jesus, we thank you. Man, if you need to repent of anything, if you need to repent of unforgiveness, if you need to repent of jealousy, if you need to repent of anything in your life right now, come to this altar. If you need to repent of lust and pornography, come to this altar and proclaim the blood of Jesus over it. Proclaim the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The fear of man. If you got the fear of man, get up here and proclaim the blood of Jesus over your life. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Sida barasana marasana namarasana namarasana maresi kete korabatea. Lord God, I thank you for this flock. I thank you for this flock, Jesus, that loves you. I thank you for those that are weighing in the balances right now and checking it out. I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for every one of them, God. I thank you for the young people. They've got passion. They've got strength. Now, God, anoint their spirits to rise up. The blood of Jesus over their souls to be restored, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. God, bless this flock. Bless them going in. Bless them coming out, God. Bless them with all the goodness of God. Bless them with the blood. Cover them with the blood, God. Take that hyssop and strike their foreheads right now with the blood, God, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
I wonder if you can pray for me.
Yes, sir. We thank you for the rain, God. We thank you for the rain. Y'all sing with me. We'll close with this. Y'all know it, maybe. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. So corabasite. Hold on just a second.
I was praying this morning, and the Lord showed me something previously this week, and I didn't know if I should share it or not, and I started singing, "Yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord," and I said, if that comes up today, I know it's his confirmation, so thank you, Pastor. But he gave me a vision of this God mall. It's kind of seasonal in nature, but this God mall. You know, just think of the big mall out there, and it's very shiny, got lights all over it, and very attractive, drawing people in. But in order to get in, you got to step on this pressure plate, and that's called faith. And then you go in through the door, which the door is Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the door." And so you go in, and it's all glittery and all full of stuff, that God's stuff that can just help you all over the place. But you get overwhelmed, so you get a personal shopper called the Holy Spirit, and he takes you to exactly the store you need to go to that's filled with the things that you need. So if you need healing, you go to the healing store, Healing R Us, and you go in, and he shows you, the Holy Spirit takes you to the shelf that has that particular verse on it that you need to take with you to fill you up and put in your shopping cart of your heart. And so you go to each one of these stores, any need that you might have. But just be careful. Don't get overwhelmed. And also, when you go in here, don't become a mall walker. Just walking by the stores, observing, hey, that's pretty cool, that's pretty cool. No, you got to go in and you got to partake of the verses. You got to fill your cart up. And by the way, they're free through the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. But you get to go out and you get to then go out to the world. And when you go out to the world, you get to use these verses, you share these, you give them away to people that you see are needy, and you get to, you know, you just get to give things away, you get to use them, but you kind of go depleted throughout the week, and so you need sometimes a boost. So you go to the local outlet, your church, and get filled up and replenished, and then you can go back out again. Now, a little bit further revelation, that mall really is your Bible. And so when you go into the Bible, when you open it up through faith, you go in and you get those verses. You seek the concordance out, find out what you're dealing with, and get the verses and put them in your shopping cart, get refilled. That's the mall, all right? So you can go to the mall every day if you want to. You can go twice a day, whatever you want to do. And so we had a young lady come in this week. We had to go on a 9-mile road march, or road run, I can say. But anyway, she came in. She was a substitute teacher, and her name was Miss Vance. She just graduated a year or so ago. And we got to talk, and she was Christian. And I said, you know what? I got to share this with somebody because this is so cool. So I started sharing it and sharing it, and she started, her countenance kind of drooped a little bit. And I said, what's wrong? And she says, well, we went to Italy this year and on a missions trip. She's with Northside. And we went out there, and there was a refugee camp full of Africans. I can't remember the nations. But she went there, and they were ministering to Muslims, giving them food and such. And I said, well, did they really receive from you? And she said, well, what would happen is they were kind of defensive at first, and they would break down the walls with food or whatever, and then they would bring them into the inner compound, and that's where they did the ministry work, the hardcore ministry work. And she said there was this one Muslim guy. He was really, he was like a leader, and he was hardcore. He wanted answers. He had rebuttals to our stuff, but he ended up getting saved. And so he shared with them in this little closed setting about how it seems like it's a store. God is like a store. And she was like, oh, God. So, you know, when we were talking, it was just blowing us away. But God can share stuff and blow our minds. But it's through the blood of blood of Jesus, and we just receive everything that he gives us right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.